Blog Talk Radio.
This is Cindy F. Sullivan with the Global Product Management Talk, January 30th in the United States and January 31st in Australia. With us today, John Mansour, who is our speaker. He's the founder of Cockpit Yen and a co-host, Adrian Tan of Brainmates in Australia. Today, new class of product manager and a new gauge for measuring success. There is a gaping hole that exists between corporate financial goals and the constantly growing slate of product initiatives. When that gap exists, every market opportunity and every product idea seems like a good one. It's a passive distraction that's stifling the growth of many organizations. Product management and product marketing teams collectively own the responsibility for closing this strategy gap. Through no fault of their own, few product teams are structured to close that gap. It's time for a new class of product manager and a new gauge for measuring success. Hello, John.
Hello, Cindy. How are you today?
Okay, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Awesome.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Adrian. Glad to have you back.
Thank you. I had a great holiday.
John Mansour founded Proficient in 2001 after almost 20 years in high technology product management, marketing, and sales. Much of his success in those roles can be attributed to extensive operations management in retail, healthcare, and software companies. John has experience directing large worldwide teams of domestic and international product and marketing initiatives, as well as helping startup companies launch new products. Welcome, OneDesk, who has joined us in the Twitter chat room. And this is a podcast commentary on our Twitter chat discussion that you can join us using the hashtag PRODMGMTTALK. For more information on this and upcoming and past Twitter discussions, please visit our website at www.prodmgmttalk.com. Our first question is always, please introduce yourself, where you're tweeting from, and your involvement with product management. Please follow speaker today, John Mansour, who is at MansourJC.
There we go.
At MansourJC. Our co-host, Adrian, who is at BrainMates. BrainMates.
And I just put my Twitter handle out there too, Cindy.
Where you're tweeting from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
How's your weather?
Beautiful winter day here. It's about 65 degrees and sunny.
Super hot in Sydney. It's so super hot. It's like...
So it is summer for you.
Yes, it is. Too much to handle at the moment.
It actually should be winter, but it's always mild here. We've had beautiful weather over the weekend. Across the bay from San Francisco, we have the best weather in the whole Silicon Valley. Does your organization have a formal role or group dedicated to strategy or product strategy? Welcome, John Newberry from Lifestyle Chair United K joined us. We have been changing the time around so that our European colleagues can join us. Welcome, Mark Miller, who's a consultant currently focused on weight loss software as a service based in Mountain View.
I like that description, weight loss software as a service.
And who doesn't like that discussion this time of year,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
John Newberry, well, we can't tweet you any caffeine. We know it's late at night over there. Hopefully you can stay with us for the hour.
Even though we're product management consultants, we don't have a formal product manager role. Although we do apply our method to our business. We definitely adopt product management framework, but we don't have a formal role. So we work with so many different types of companies, and I have to say, I don't really see a formal product strategy role in many organizations just yet in Australia. It's definitely more bundled up under the title of product manager, and unfortunately that means that that product manager has to do a lot of activities, and one of them may be strategy.
Mark Miller says he is a strategist and the marketing person for his current product management role. I am the strategist, the product person, the project person, the producer. It's really difficult to be involved with in hands-on tactical and also keep your head above to be thinking strategy.
That is a good point, in fact. So, Adrian, when you talk about you see product managers formalized strategy roles not really prevalent in Australia yet, for the product managers who own strategy, is the scope of that strategy generally limited to their products, or does it tend to go beyond that?
It's limited to their products. It doesn't go beyond portfolio product. And if there is a formal product strategy role, it sits outside of product management. It tends to sit within corporate strategy, but it's not seen as a sort of formal product strategy role, and they may not use a lot of the product management framework and methods that we may typically use. For example, they might look to the market and they might look at competitors, but they might not spend any time engaging with customers. They don't do any segmentation, so they don't quite know the target market.
Right, and that's a very similar thing here to where a lot of companies have corporate strategy or product strategy groups, but they're completely disconnected from the product management and product marketing team. So there's one group thinking about strategy, but the other group is not integrated or connecting or necessarily executing on those strategies.
Yep.
In fact, that whole phenomenon, you know, that's been going on for a long time, and I suspect it's not limited here to the U.S. market. We've got clients literally around the world, and it seems to be fairly consistent. That's the reason we published the white paper. In fact, for anybody who's joined us here, you may have known us as Zigzag Marketing. We, a little over, been about a year ago, we changed the name of the company and our focus specifically to portfolio management for this very reason, because there's this huge gap between revenue, profitability, market share, customer retention, so on and so forth, and then all of these product initiatives being executed. And it's that gaping hole in the middle that answers the question, how will we get there, okay?
Yes.
How will we get there, meaning what markets are we going to target? What are the biggest problems they are having that's within our realm of core competency to solve? And where are they spending their money relative to what we do? And it's all those things that don't get answered to connect the two together. So pretty much anybody who has a product idea or a new market idea and it contributes to revenue goals, it's like, oh, that's a great idea. Let's do that one too.
Exactly. And so what you find is that you see the strategy group saying, I think we need to launch X product. So the product manager then picks it up and says, oh, well, I guess we have to launch X product, and simply start taking at face value that that's what the company has to do to make money without really doing much research into whether there's a market for it.
Well, and to make matters worse, so imagine you take that initiative, you're a product manager, you run with it, and then Cindy is one of your fellow colleagues, and she comes in with a better idea tomorrow, and then everyone's like, oh, let's do that one, right?
Yeah.
So you drop the one you're doing. We start doing Cindy's, then a month later I come along, I'm like, oh, I really have the answer, right? And I have a better idea. And think about companies who this is their modus operandi. So over the course of time, this is where the every idea seems like a good one. You have a bunch of half-baked initiatives that you stop for the next greatest shiny new thing. And the end result is you're not going to hit your growth goals, or you're going to have to work really, really, really hard to hit them.
That sounds very much like the practice of product management in inverted commas here.
Yeah, so John Newbery had said that it differs across Europe. There's a formal split between marketing and product management in some countries. But in the UK, they combine the two. Product management, product marketing is driving strategy. There's one person, it's a lot to handle.
Well, you see, I don't even think that marketing in Australia drives strategy. Marketing pretty much here is all about marketing communication. So they get the product and they put the shiny, they dress it up for the market. There's little strategic involvement from marketing here. It would be rare.
Yeah, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the whole purpose behind the portfolio manager, well, it's a couple of things, but think of it as a superset of product managers and marketers on a team that is integrated to do all the above. So if you think about if you are a traditional product manager or product marketing manager, you have the responsibility of managing and or marketing specific product, which leaves you absolutely no bandwidth to think about strategy for your own products, let alone at a macro level.
Yep.
The occasional offsite meeting here and there, customer visits, things like that, you know, you can't be strategic for a few hours here and there in a manner that is conducive to your company's growth.
Absolutely. Hee hee.
You know, and so I look at it this way. It's like even companies that have a corporate strategy group, there's the things that a lot of them do. They're looking for acquisitions or new markets or this or that, but they're not answering those where are we going, how are we going to get there types of questions that glue all the product initiatives to the corporate goal. So in other words, if the product management and marketing teams don't have a role on their team to do this kind of thing, one of two things is going to happen. Either it's not going to get done, or everyone's going to do their own version of it, and the end result is the same. It's we chase a great new idea every week or every month and drop the last.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. I think that there needs to be more connection between product management and corporate strategy. And there's absolutely a role for corporate strategy that's definitely required, but somebody's got to take that high-level concept and translate that into something more meaningful that is applicable to the market.
Well, exactly. And to be able to do that, you have to have a small team of people, whether it's one or two or three, you know, it all depends on the size of the organization, but you have to have a small team of people that operate in what I call the strategy zone, meaning your full-time job is to be looking at macro market trends, looking for how companies are spending their money, where they're spending money strategically, what kind of issues are on the CEO's agendas in given market segments, and bringing that back into the organization without day-to-day product responsibility. If you own one or more products from a product manager or marketing standpoint, your chances of being strategic beyond those products are slim and none. And
yeah.
What we are seeing is this huge gap where CEOs are saying, we have a strategy gap, okay? We know where we need to get to, but there are just our matrix of products and target markets and opportunities and all that. There's just too much of it. We can't get our arms around it to close that gap. And a lot of companies are burning way too many cycles and getting very little in return for it.
And I think sometimes as well that people assume that if you have corporate strategy, that really is your product strategy, when in actual fact, it's not.
No, you know, what I have seen in most cases, corporate strategy is strategic goals. It's revenue, growth objectives, market
yep.
share, customer retention. So people go, okay, that's our strategy. Everybody in your market set, go. Figure out how you're going to get there. And the bottom line in all of this, and this is the part that kind of hurts me, because having been a product manager and still consider myself a product management professional, is
mm-hmm.
over time, the landscape around us has changed a good bit, because you think about all the industry consolidations, companies scoop up other companies. I know some companies that have acquired 40-some companies, and there you have 40 different silos trying to go in 40 different directions, and it's not working. And we haven't, you know, the product management, product marketing profession, for the most part, we haven't changed how we've been doing things, at least in the B2B world, for the last 20 years. If we keep going down this path, and this is the part that bothers me most, is we are going to be losing ground in terms of our strategic influence instead of gaining ground like we should be.
Yeah. And so what's your formula?
Well, I'll talk about the formula in a minute, but there's a couple of other factors, and I'd be interested from some of the folks who are out here on the tweet chat, as well as, you know, Adrian, what you're seeing over in the other side of the world there. But we are seeing a huge influx of technical skills coming into product management.
Yes.
Okay, so not that that's a bad thing, but it's a difficult part about that is people who come from engineering backgrounds, 9 out of 10 of them don't transition naturally into a product management role, where if you're an engineer, things are pretty black or white. Product management and product marketing are all gray. I see people with the engineering skills who want to come in and they want to make this black and white, and unfortunately it doesn't work that way, and so that transition tends to become harder. But if you look at sort of the macro effect, if I have a team of 10 and 8 or 9 of them have come from technical backgrounds, the comfort zone of my team is in doing things that are black and white stuff, the tactics. I can solve a problem, I can fix this, I can do that. But the impact on the organization is we don't have a product team that is comfortable going out in the market, gathering data points, looking at macro trends, and doing things that are not things typically associated with engineering roles. That's another factor.
In terms of technical skills, I think people are starting to get extra technical by learning to code. And whilst that's novel, starting to worry that you'll start to miss out on other skills if people are starting to learn to code, or product managers are starting to learn to code.
I think that the product makes a difference. Certainly here in Silicon Valley, who is respected as product managers, and they don't see this distinction, are technical people. Welcome Beta Boy, who's come into the room, as well as Kit Matt Gilbray, who is from Sydney, London, and more. And Beta Boy is also from Sydney. So these are your colleagues, Adrian.
Yes, well, Kit works with BrainMates, and Beta Boy works for a cable TV company in Sydney.
Excellent, yes, and Beta Boy has participated previously. Now, John Newberry is saying that corporate strategy rarely or never sets a clear direction for product strategy. Product strategy
oh, I agree.
Yes, product strategy is driven by localized core teams.
True. I agree that depending on the type of product and the type of organization, certain organizations value technical skills more so than others do in a product management role. But the bottom line from the product management team is, so I'll even take it one step further and say, well, let's say you have a bunch of very well-functioning product managers who are good at being strategic relative to their product, all right? So in that scenario, I'm going to go out here and say that's still not good enough to satisfy the growth appetite for many organizations these days, because you think about companies that have a lot of products, you're back into the same silos where if you have 10, 15, 20, 50 products, every product has different opportunities and different priorities and all sorts of things. So if you have 10, 20, or 50 product strategies, you're no better off. That's why we're promoting the role of the portfolio manager, because you have to have product manager, product marketing teams, have to have some people on that team who don't have the day-to-day product responsibilities, who can be the eyes and the ears to provide that air cover that actually defines what the overall market strategy is at a level that transcends products, right? If you target retail or you target telecom or you target banking, so choosing your market segments and understanding what problems you can solve for those organizations that have strategic impact, that has to be done at a level that sits above product. And that's the part that's really, really difficult for product managers to do when you own a product day-to-day. There are plenty of them that have the skills and the talent to do it. They just don't have the bandwidth to do it. So the portfolio managers are part of that team. They assume that responsibility, and they're the ones that are out sort of gathering data points in a lot of cases from the same sources. So whether you talk to industry analysts, you're talking to senior executives who are customers, some who aren't customers, you're talking to operational type executives inside the organization and understanding how market dynamics impact certain parts of the organization where your products and services play, to try to understand where the big issues are to innovate new solutions that have high market value, as opposed to continuing to enhance the product, good and it's valuable, but unfortunately it over the long haul doesn't do much for the value of your company or the value of your portfolio. So the bottom line is portfolio management is about looking at target markets and determining which markets are going to contribute to your corporate goals in pecking order, and understanding what problems you can solve in those markets that have high value, high strategic impact, so that the product teams can execute with strategic intent. So instead of every product going off and doing the things that are only valuable to the product, everybody's doing something that is valuable to the organization in terms of a higher value solution that's going to drive growth. So higher value solutions that drive growth, and then secondarily, in most cases, we do things that enhance our products to keep customers coming back, renewing, or for those people who have the recurring revenue model, we do things to keep customers happy and keep them continuing to pay. But we can't do too much of that, otherwise we lose market opportunities.
Awesome. So we do have some newcomers into the room. Welcome Jennifer Doctor, who asks, because portfolio managers often have different goals than corporate strategy, what brings them together? She asked earlier, so what role should tie the portfolio strategy to the corporate strategy? And then she was explaining that she asked that because portfolio managers often have different goals than corporate strategy. So it brings them together. And also I want to welcome Erin Manager, who joins us again today.
Great. Thanks and welcome. So to answer Jennifer's question, which is an excellent question, the great thing about portfolio management, and this is the new gauge for measurement, at the highest level, everybody's going to be tied to corporate goals, but tying those corporate goals to execution is where the rubber meets the road. This is the whole market segment focus of portfolio management. So portfolio managers, product marketing managers who are typically measured by some product metric, that product metric goes away in favor of a market segment metric, right? So if we're targeting retail, telecom, and banking, we're going to determine the contributions those market segments are going to make to our corporate goals, and then everyone is going to align around the things necessary to meet those market segment goals. So if we hit our market segment goals, then inherently we hit our corporate goals. That's that layer that's the huge gap, right? Because any product initiative or any marketing initiative or any sales deal that contributes to corporate revenue is a good one. There has to be a market strategy that says what markets are most conducive to us meeting our goals in the short and the long term, and then all of our product marketing sales initiatives are tied to those. So we're all being measured by the same measuring stick.
So there has to be market strategy that identifies which markets to focus on?
Yeah, so part of the marketing portfolio strategy is which market segments will be our primary focus, and then what are the high impact, high value problems we're going to solve for those market segments. And then from there, we figure out what products and services we need to create the solutions to those problems. So if you compare that with how we traditionally manage products, we're looking to uncover problems we can solve with our product. And portfolio management doesn't limit you to that, right? It's a environment where product teams are given incentive to collaborate with one another across products so that we're not limiting our eyes and ears to things one product can solve or two products can solve. We're looking at the broad market and looking for big problems to solve and then figuring out which products and services are best suited to solve that.
Excellent. So that, as Jennifer said, portfolio managers and product strategists often don't sit at the executive table who set the corporate strategy. And you actually responded to that. MGM PM said corporate strategy is often related to valuation of the offering. What's the long-term value? What's the short-term value? So I said that you said we're looking to uncover problems to solve with the product. Portfolio management doesn't limit and enables collaboration across tables.
It does. In fact, think about portfolio management as a part of the product team. Portfolio management's responsibility is to actually set the table with all of the market information that will get everybody on the same page and enable executives to make decisions. One of the biggest culprits behind all the contention between should we do this or do that or do more of this or more of that is that you can talk to 10 different people in any organization and you'll get 20 different views of the same market. I call it the root of all evil. It's when two people have a different view of the same market. And because most companies structure themselves around products, I have product one and Adrian has product two and Cindy has product three. Well, we all see the same market through a different lens. And the goal behind portfolio management is to create a view of the market that is what it is so that everyone in the organization sees that market the same way. So if we're targeting retail, there will be one view of the retail market everyone in the organization subscribes to.
I like that description and certainly definition of portfolio management, that it's really about market strategy. How would then the product manager with product one, product manager with product two, then utilize that sort of information or that viewpoint that's developed by the portfolio manager?
Now, I'll give you a good example. One of our clients who targets retail, and they're doing portfolio management, they're doing it pretty well. They have a real good handle on what's happening in the retail market. They're targeting sort of the tier one brick and mortar type retailers as well as their online. But one of the big key issues that they've identified because of the economy and some of the other credit factors is that foot traffic in the store has gone way down because of credit issues, the down economy, and people's tendency to be shopping online more. Right, so they have all this square footage and there's no traffic in the store. That store costs the same to run regardless. One of the big problems that they are solving for some of their retailer customers is to do programs that bring foot traffic into the store. Right? The company is more of a service company. They offer aftermarket warranties on electronics and things like that. They're saying, hey, bring all your old electronics in you don't use anymore. We'll give you some money for those in the form of a gift card for the store, and then you go spend money in that store.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you think about solving a problem of that magnitude for a retailer, that has much more value than adding features to your warranty program that you would do within one product.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's the concept of portfolio management. So for this company, they're looking across, probably ends up being a half a dozen products and services that have to come together, and everybody has to add some features to their product or service, but they're all doing it with the intent of solving a very strategic problem.
Yep.
It's a much more collaborative, coordinated effort on the part of product management, because the product managers now get to sit there and brainstorm and figure out, okay, what's the best way to solve this problem? How much of it's product, how much of it's service, how much of it is existing product, how much of it is a new product. You're executing at a product level, but with much clearer strategic intent. That's the biggest difference, is that your number one priority, whether it's product management or product marketing, which really becomes industry marketing, but your number one priority in most cases is we solve the big, high-value strategic problems first, and all the features that go into the products, those are first priority.
Yep.
So then as we're into all those different products, ripping them apart, adding strategic features, we add the nice-to-have features that keep customers paying and coming back as part of that. First priority, generally, high-value, high-market-value stuff. Second priority, high-customer-value stuff. But again, it all depends on your corporate goals.
Come back to the questions to engage our people in the room.
Okay.
MGMPM says portfolio management is a single view of the market. It's important that companies have the same view of the market. I think that he was retweeting. So we did already answer if in your organization, your strategy group is part of the product management team. I think we spoke to that. And our Q3 originally was what percentage of your product managers come from technical engineering roles. Spoke to that. Should we ask the question of do most of your products target the same market? And if so, does each product team do its own market analysis? Because I think what you're suggesting, John, is a transformation in the company organization to include portfolio managers if they don't already exist.
That's exactly right. So you're not replacing product managers with portfolio managers. You're adding portfolio managers to complement product managers for reasons we stated, right? They don't have the capacity, given the day-to-day product stuff, to really get strategic at a level beyond their product. You combine that with technical skills that may not have had experience doing that, and the fact that product strategies alone aren't enough to satisfy the growth appetite, that's the justification for your portfolio manager.
Excellent. So John Newbery says, so a portfolio manager would lead a lineup of market managers and product manager. Sounds like an effective structure.
They certainly complement that, but I would say that the portfolio managers become the tip of the arrow now instead of the product managers, which typically the tip of the arrow in a traditional product management structure, yes.
Okay.
So if you're a product manager, think of the benefit of having people on your team to go out and come back with, here's what's really happening in the market. We've gathered all these data points. We validate them with people in the market. And so here's what's happening in the market, and here are some of the issues they're dealing with, and then you and your fellow product managers get to sit around and say, okay, so let's figure out which of these problems make the most sense for us to solve, and let's figure out how to do it.
Yeah, I like it. I think the difference in my mind, I mean, I've always thought that portfolio management provides that sort of overseer level. You know, they oversee all the various products. But the difference that I sense from what you're trying to say is that they don't oversee the product, but they oversee the market, in which case each product manager looks after their own product in light of what the portfolio manager brings back in terms of sort of market information.
You hit the nail on the head. So I am managing my product.
Yeah.
In fact, all of us product managers are managing our product with the intent of solving the big problems that have been identified by the portfolio managers.
I love it. I think that's a really good, interesting, effective way of looking at that organizational structure and also solving that problem of that product manager trying to do everything. As you said, creating this siloed view of the market.
Well, it is. And the benefit, if you think about being an executive, and I hear a lot of product managers say, oh, our executives can't make decisions. And I always tell them, put yourself in your executive's shoes, and you got 100 people coming at you with 100 different opportunities every day. How do you know which ones are best?
Yeah. But Jennifer has a really good point. She said, doesn't the proposed structure that we've just talked about take away the market-facing role of product management, or is it simply refocusing product management?
I would say it's a different focus because it doesn't take away any market-facing role of product management. Product management still has to have that market-facing role. It's just that they now have someone who's complementing the market-facing at an operational level, which is where the products are. They're complementing that with more macro trends to understand what's happening in organizations on the left and the right of my product and all the things that surround my product that could be impacting what I do.
Yep.
And it's sad but true, and having been a product manager, I know this, we tend to have a myopic view of the market, and we only look at the parts of the organization where our product plays, but we don't really have the time or the capacity to look at what kind of things are happening in the organization that impact the departments where our products play. And sometimes those are the huge gotchas. And a big part of what the portfolio managers are doing is looking at how organizations in a segment, so if I go back to my retail example, how are retailers, and look at sort of the big, medium, and small as different size segments, but how are retailers spending money strategically based on the dynamics in the retail market in the U.S. or the U.K. or Australia or whatever region of the world you're in? And you have to figure out how those strategic investments funnel down to the operational areas where your products play so that you are aligning with the areas where these organizations are spending money strategically.
Okay, so Jennifer says, isn't that macro role typically held by an industry segment manager?
In some companies it is. So let's talk a little bit about the varieties of portfolio managers. They typically come in three varieties. Some are vertical, some are horizontal, and then some are a combination of both. So in larger organizations, we see in many larger organizations, they have an industry marketing segment manager role. And if that is the case, then that person, they take the responsibility of defining what the profile of that segment is for the organization to subscribe to. So they would do that part, and then their other responsibilities are more sales enablement and more marketing related. So if that's the case in a large organization, then your portfolio managers tend to be oriented horizontally by business practice or business operations, right? So your portfolio managers would be customer service oriented or network security oriented or a business function that crosses multiple industries. If I draw a contrast with what a lot of smaller organizations are doing, because they obviously are trying to make the most of headcount, they have the hybrid portfolio manager, which they orient them vertically, and because they don't have so many products, I'm going to be the portfolio manager for retail, somebody else is going to be the portfolio manager for telecom, and we're going to create views of those markets and identify problems that are critical to solve in both of those segments, and we're going to do it the same way, and then at some point we're going to come together and look at the opportunities across those markets to decide how much investment goes into one segment versus the other.
Okay, so in the third variety, we had large, small. You said the portfolio managers come in three varieties.
Yes, and so in the hybrid variety, that one is more common when you see an organization that only has a few products, but they serve many, many industries. So in that case, you don't need a team of people looking after the products or a big team of people looking after the products. You need more folks out identifying trends, drivers to drive the product team, and then doing sales enablement, the marketing, and all those sorts of things is another part of their job.
Do you think this proposed structure would work if you worked in a B2C business?
You know, I'm going to say the concepts will apply, but in a lot of cases they apply differently. And here's the difference in my mind, and I'm not a B2C expert here. In a B2C environment, you might have a lot of products that target the same demographic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Demographic being a market segment in B2C.
Yeah.
But there's probably less inclination. Procter & Gamble isn't going to sell John or Adrian or Cindy a solution. The best they're going to do is give us coupons to buy 4 or 5 or 10 of their products.
Yep.
And so portfolio management takes on a slightly different meaning in a B2C environment, because a lot of the products and the market segments, there's a whole lot of overlap there to where certain people might buy some products together and some might not, and it all depends. So the concepts apply, but I think they apply differently.
I do a lot of work in B2C, and I think this proposed structure can work, because the benefit of structure is that you have this consistent view, same language, the same view, description, whatever you want to call it, of the market. And that market might be based on gender in a B2C environment, age, whatever, behavioral. But if there's a portfolio manager there providing you with that context, then I think the product managers can definitely do their jobs better. The only difference is the way you segment.
It is. And what I have typically seen in the B2C companies that we have worked with is most of them have an extensive market research department.
Yeah.
And that market research department is usually the one that takes the responsibility for creating the profile of each of the market segments or demographics, and then all the product managers tend to use that. That's just a natural part of how a B2C company operates.
Yep.
Where I've seen a disconnect is that all the product managers take their own interpretations of that instead of collaborating across products.
Exactly, and that's where the portfolio manager, regardless, I mean, you can have research departments in B2B companies still
right.
doing the same thing, but the portfolio manager then provides that consistent view.
Exactly.
And the interpretation of that research by simply saying that this is the research and this is how we've interpreted, I think that provides a big advantage for product management teams.
It does, and you know, the difference that I see between market research and B2B and B2C, I think B2C companies, their market research departments tend to take more ownership with interpreting the data to say, here's what it means. I see a lot of B2B companies who have market research, and what they present is a data dump, not necessarily the interpretation of here's what it means or here's where the trend is going types of things. But again, I can't make a blanket statement there, because I don't see market research departments in B2B companies all that often.
Right.
John Newbery, love the way you describe portfolio management, Adrian. And so he was trying to rewind the audio. Question 5 was, how are product investment priorities decided?
And that is probably one of the biggest benefits of portfolio management, the method in which you decide product investment priorities. So keeping in mind that in a portfolio management model in B2B, your company is deciding to orient itself toward the market segments, right, by name. So we're going to target tier 2 retail, tier 3 this, tier 1 that, whatever the case is. Product investment priorities are decided based on the priorities of the market segments themselves. So if you think about meeting corporate goals, there's a short-term and a long-term view. So for 2012, we're going to hit our goals largely based on the products we have right now today, right? And if there's anything sort of coming out of the pipeline soon, that'll contribute to 2012. So there's an element of it that says, all right, for 2012, we're going to hit those goals based on what we have today. Beyond 2012, we're going to invest. To decide how we invest or what the investment priorities are in products, we have to look at the opportunities in the market segments that we're targeting. Product priorities follow market segment priorities. So if we determine that the problems we can solve in market A versus market B are going to drive more revenue or drive us closer to hitting our goals, then product investments that cater to the product A solutions go first. If push comes to shove, if we can do both, great. But if we can't do both, the features that go into the products for segment A solutions are going to get priority over stuff that goes into segment B solutions if segment B is not going to contribute as much as segment A to our overall corporate goals. Long and the short of it is the market segment priorities determine the product investment priority. And I know a lot of people who ask, well, then don't you just have contention about which market segments are the biggest priority? And put it this way, there's no silver bullet that's ever going to take the arguments away from where you should go. But as long as you are using the same techniques to do the quantitative and qualitative analysis and you're getting data from reliable sources, you don't have that issue. Because at the end of the day, you're going to have more or less a scorecard for each market segment that you are either targeting or potentially targeting, and you're going to weigh revenue potential versus competitive versus a number of other things. And like I said, the good thing about portfolio management is the executive team is going to make decisions together because the portfolio and product management teams have presented single views of the market, identified problems that have the most strategic value, have identified the level of investment that it's going to take to solve those problems. And obviously, this is where you're getting product management development teams involved in the overall plan. But you're presenting a cohesive view of the market and all the information necessary to make what I'd say is a much more informed decision at an executive level.
John Newbery says that they have a formalized scoring audit that grades, ranks, and prioritizes product development and subsequent investment. Are they already on a portfolio management trajectory? Welcome on PM, if that's Saeed Khan or someone else from onproductmanagement.net. And people were trying to rewind the audio. We're covering a lot of salient points here that people want to hear.
Back to John Newbery, and I'm glad to see that they have a formalized scoring process. If that scoring process is being done at a product level, meaning we have a lot of product initiatives and we score them, that's good, but it doesn't quite get you out of the, hey, something else with a better score came along, let's drop this other thing and do something with a higher score. You really minimize that in a portfolio management environment because when you take one holistic view of the market, you should know what the big hits are, and unless you have significant shifts in one of your target markets, there's not that much that's going to change. And if it does, you decide to change as an organization, not just drop one product priority and add another. In a portfolio model, market segments rule.
I like that.
Right? So when someone says, next year we have to grow our revenue by an incremental dollar, the first question is, what market segments are going to contribute to that dollar and how much will each segment contribute? Part of answering that question is obviously understanding what problems need to be solved for those segments and what kind of value it has based on the size and the adoption rates in that segment. So it tends to level the playing field and give you apples-to-apples comparisons across all your different decisions.
Question 6 was, what percentage of your time is dedicated to strategic planning? Is that a non sequitur at this point? We're talking about portfolio management. We really left the challenges of product managers being unable to have that portfolio view.
So the one point I want to be sure we make is in no way are we saying that product managers don't have the skills and they can't do portfolio management. That's not at all what we're saying. What we're saying is that because of how product management teams are structured, they don't have anyone whose first string job is dedicated to seeing macro level market trends and identifying investment priorities in different market segments and uncovering the big strategic problems and doing that on a full-time basis. And the argument is you can't do it on a part-time basis. It has to be a full-time job. So that said, there are plenty of portfolio manager. When I was a product manager, that would have been the job I would want to have. It's like, what's not to love about this job? So what we're saying is, product management teams don't have that balance. In some way, shape, or form, they need to reallocate the resources on their teams and put people in those roles whose first string job it is to identify macro trends, spending priorities, and problems that have strategic market value so that the product management teams execute with strategic intent.
But do you think that the portfolio manager belongs within the product management team, or are you saying that it fits separately?
It does not sit separately. It can't sit separately because then in fact, I know a lot of companies who have a portfolio management group that is separate. And what they do is, you know, they advise the product management team on the things they should be doing. And the product management teams go, yeah, thanks for your input. And then they go and do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And not because they don't want to take that advice. They have too many fires going on in something else. And so that's why it has to be all part of one team so that you collectively decide where the priorities are.
Agree. Could I just ask one question before we finish this fantastic discussion? Thank you so much. Have you seen this structure work effectively in organizations? And can you provide us with some names?
Virtually every client we are working with is doing this because it's the only thing we focus on. Okay, so portfolio management is our sole focus and primarily B2B.
Right.
Every organization we're working with is doing it, some doing it to a greater extent than others. All are seeing very good results and it's making a lot more sense for their product teams. Executives love it as well because it makes their job easier. Now, I would love to throw names out. However, we're under non-disclosure with all of our clients. So the best I can do is to send people to the Product Management University course page on our website where some clients have made comments and have put their name and their companies out there.
Thank you.
And they range in all sizes, some as small as $10 million in revenue and others as large as $6 billion in revenue or probably beyond that. The vast majority of them somewhere in between.
Great.
Our last question was, does your company market solutions to specific industries? Or does it position products to general market? Is that relevant?
Yes, that is a very relevant question. It's funny because a lot of companies, they say, well, we target anybody who does X. But if you look at where their revenue comes from, 80% of their revenue comes from like three or four market segments. And our question to them is, okay, well, why not start by focusing on the ones that are generating the most revenue now and look how to grow systematically from there. Depending on the culture of the organization, some perceive that that focus limits their revenue opportunity when it's really the exact opposite. You can sell to anyone whose your products are a good fit for, but you will market and develop and create solutions for your targets. That's the difference.
Okay, Dr. Jennifer did say thanks for the talk today. Nice explanation, good stories, interesting discussion. Also, next week, we are discussing agile marketing with Ron Braun of At Braun Company. Did you cover all of the 10 points that you wanted to make?
You know, I believe in one form or fashion, we did. If for any reason we didn't, then you can go out to my Twitter thread, and they're out there.
I know that you're speaking in Southern California to the product management group, and it was Matt McCoy and Greg White who told me about you before I met you.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that face-to-face event is happening at the Orange County Product Managers Meeting. It's Wednesday, February 8th. We will be covering this topic in a live discussion. Anybody who's in the Southern California area, we would love you to join us.
Thank you so much for your time, John. Pleasure to meet up again online.
Pleasure talking with both you and Cindy. And thanks to the audience for joining us today. We hope it was valuable use of your time.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank you, Adrian. Glad to have you back. Follow us on Facebook and also visit our website at PRODMGMTTALK. Thank you, John and Adrian.
Thank you. Have a great day.